Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. This life study is the basis of our program today, which includes short portions of the spoken messages given by Witness Lee. Now, let's join today's life study.
To our natural understanding, the structure of a book like 1 Corinthians may seem random and really lacking any particular significance. But if we realize that the book is specifically arranged, with the last half of the book focused on how God is administrating the entire universe for the accomplishment of His eternal purpose, we will have a key to open a much deeper understanding and appreciation of this portion of Scripture. It's particularly important to use this key when we come to the matter of the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Dick Taylor has joined us for our fellowship today on this life study program. Dick, the gifts of the Spirit, a big topic in the Christian world, aren't they? And I think the source of a lot of confusion, a misunderstanding, abuse, all kinds of things, I guess, can be said about them. But I think we'll see them in a new context today, won't we?
I believe you're right, Chris, and the word you just used is the key, and that is context. And so I'm so grateful for our brother speaking here to put the matter of the gifts in the context of God's divine administration. If you see everything in the proper context, then you really understand the gifts. So this ministry really opens up this matter of the gifts, and you see that the gifts are not some kind of strange thing or different thing or odd thing, but they are all together part of God's economy to carry out His heart's desire.
Dick, Witness Lee spent much time laboring on this point to show us that this book really had a turn when we came to chapter 11. And the turn now, and from chapter 11 through the end of this book, as you just said, is focused on God's administration. In other words, God's working out His eternal purpose and how He is orchestrating the entire universe for this. And it's really borne out by what we see in this book. In chapter 11, of course, we saw the matter of head covering, which dealt with the matter of headship. God's headship is the first most important point in His administration, isn't it?
That's right.
Then we had another realization more recently, a wonderful series of programs on the matter of discerning the body. Say a little bit about that.
Related to the body, Chris, the head without the body has no way to carry out God's administration. So you need the head with the body, and the body is one body. So again, the emphasis here is the oneness of the triune God, the oneness of the body of Christ. Christ, the head, surely needs the body to carry out God's administration. So a head without a body is not able to function properly to carry out the administration.
So, Dick, now when we come to the first word, really, of chapter 12, where the matter of the spiritual gifts is introduced, this matter of the context, as you said a moment ago, becomes more significant because the chapter starts off now concerning spiritual gifts. After the headship, after the body, now concerning spiritual gifts. Brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were Gentiles, you were always being led away to dumb idols, whenever and however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking in the Spirit of God says, Jesus is accursed, and no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except in the Holy Spirit.
No one can say what?
Jesus is Lord.
We must have been in the Holy Spirit just now, Dick.
Praise the Lord, Chris.
I hope our listeners were saying it along with us so they could be in the Holy Spirit too.
Me too.
Let's join Witness Lee.
After the Lord's Supper, Paul goes on to the matter of gifts. Apparently, there is no connection between these two things. But if you have seen that this section of the book deals with the things in the realm of the divine administration, you get the key. You just get the opener. Firstly, this section deals with head covering. That refers us to the headship. Of course, no doubt, the headship is the number one thing in God's administration. You have the head, and you need the body. The head without the body can do nothing. So, for God's administration, headship is the first item, then the body as the means, as the instrument to carry out God's administration is the second. Now, with a body, there is the need of the functions. And the function comes out of the gift. As long as it is a member, it has a gift. The totality of the functions of the gift of the members of the body is the work of the body. God is administrating the entire universe for the fulfillment of His eternal purpose. He, as the head, needs the body. And the body is the church. And this is why Satan hates the church. If the church is just an assembly of all the believers coming together to fellowship to have a good time, I don't think Satan would hate the church so much. But the church as the body is the instrument of the head to carry out his administration. And this body has many members. And every member has a gift. This is why after the headship and after the body, Paul comes to the gifts, to the spiritual gifts, which afford the functions. Now you understand. Chapter 12 continues chapter 11. Right after the discerning of the body, you have to realize all the gifts of the different members of this body.
Dick, let's go back and pick up this very short word that begins the chapter, now concerning spiritual gifts. Why is this linkage between chapter 12 and chapter 11 important as we open up the matter of spiritual gifts?
Thank the Lord for this word now. That's really a good way to begin because there is a linking of the headship of Christ and the body of Christ with even the function of all the members of that body. And that function is by the members, which are all gifts. And all of this is for the carrying out of God's eternal administration. So you can never understand these chapters without seeing God's administration. But within God's administration, there are these three distinct matters, the headship of Christ, and then the body. And then thirdly, you have the matter of the gifts. And this comes down to the actual functioning of every single member of that body. So God's administration is really carried out through the head, with the body, and with all the functions of the members of that body as gifts. So this is the key. This is the opener to this whole section. And what is God's administration intrinsically, we'll see, is just a dispensing of himself in Christ as the Spirit to be life and everything to his body, that his body might function for his testimony and his expression.
Dick, there was a real elevating, I would say, in the status of the body here in this section as well. And that's why the matter of the functioning of the members of the body is so important. He pointed out that the body is far more than just an assembly of believers who come together to enjoy something or have, you know, a good time together.
Mm-hmm.
But he said the body is the means, the body is the
instrument.
Whereby God carries out his administration.
That's right. And I just appreciate a verse that I was enjoying today, Chris, even today in Ephesians 1:10. It says, unto the economy of the fullness of the times to head up all things in Christ.
Yeah.
God, in his administration, is going to head up everything in Christ. How? Through Christ as the head, with Christ as the body, through every member as a functioning gift to be God's testimony in this universe.
Dick, let's come back now to these three verses we opened up with, the first three verses in chapter 12. Verse 2 again says, "You know that when you were Gentiles, you were always being led away to dumb idols."
Right.
And in the functioning of the body, this matter of the contrast between the dumb idols, which in one way or another all of us were caught up with,
right,
maybe not statues and worshiping in some kind of a pagan way,
mm-hmm,
but we were all very much occupied, weren't we, with dumb idols of some kind.
That's right. And so all of us were just like the idols, speechless. Concerning Christ, nothing to say.
Nothing to say. As you and I were talking about this a few minutes ago before we began to record, you reminded me of a verse that touched me very much. I'd like to read it as we get ready for this next section.
Sure.
1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9 says, "For they themselves report concerning us what kind of entrance we had toward you, and how you turned to God from the idols to serve a living and true God."
Amen.
Boy, Dick, it's marvelous. We don't have a dumb, speechless God, and we shouldn't be dumb, speechless worshipers, should we?
No, and praise the Lord for this broadcast today to make us a little bit more living, just like our God is living.
Amen. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
In the first two verses, Paul gives us a governing principle of the gifts. Verse 1, he says, "Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were of the nations," that means when you were the Gentiles, "you were led away," he doesn't say, "you were led away to sins. You were led away to the indulgence of lust. You were led away to the world. You were led away to something else." He says, "you were led away to dumb idols." This means when you were the unbelievers, you were all dumb. But after you believe, you become worshipers of the living God. How do you prove that you are living? Speaking proves that you are living. Ah, our God is living.
Amen.
And the Bible says our living God is the speaking God.
Amen.
Oh, God speaks to prove that you are living. You are a living member of Christ. You need to speak. Not to gossip. To speak means what? To speak something for the Lord.
Amen.
And to speak for the Lord. And to speak things all the time centered on Christ. Christ is your speaking. Christ is your utterance. We, the worshipers of God, we shouldn't be dumb. Full of Christ means what? Means full of utterance. Christ is the Word. Christ is God's Word. Christ is God's speaking. When you do enjoy Christ, you need to speak.
Amen.
Speak Christ.
Amen.
Shout Christ out.
Amen.
Shout forth Christ.
Amen.
I tell you, the governing principle is to speak by your spirit with the Spirit.
Dick, fascinating insight here that he brings to this portion. Paul should have, it seems, if we use our own experience as a, you know, our guide, we would think Paul would say that we had been led away to all of these things, sin and the flesh and the world and lust and all of this. But really, he says, you were led away to dumb idols, and then contrasts that with the living reality of the living God that we need to worship by speaking in a living way, right?
That's really true. And Chris, what was the lead problem that the Corinthians had? It was division.
Yeah.
You know what division comes from? It comes from deadness. So he's bringing us to the living God. When we're genuinely brought to the living God to be made as living as he is, you know what the issue is? Oneness. And I'll tell you the truth, this is really the case. Even as I, many times when I was young, my mother used to take me to church, quote unquote, and she'd say, "Sing." I say, "I don't want to sing," or "my throat is sore," or something. I couldn't do any of those things because I didn't know the living God. The more we know the living God, we realize he's the speaking God. And now it's a joy to sing. It's a joy to speak. It's a joy to say, amen. Even to say, Jesus is Lord. Or as verse 3 says, Lord Jesus. Many times a day we should speak. And if there's no one around, we may not need to speak loudly, but we would just be speaking in a way of touching the Lord, contacting the Lord, speak about him, speak to him, speak of him. And when we see people or along the freeway, just remind me to enjoy the Lord, to thank him, to praise him. Maybe there's a sign about vacation or holiday. Lord, you're my holiday. I love you. All kinds of speaking causes us to be one with him as the living, speaking God. And this precious, living, speaking God is just Jesus Christ. I like this. He said, Christ is God's word. Christ is God's utterance.
Yes.
So this living, speaking God is just Jesus Christ. So we want to be just like him by exercising our spirit to enjoy him. And when you enjoy him, you can't help but speak. And the most basic way to enjoy him is in verse 3. No man can say, Lord Jesus, except in the Holy Spirit. So this is a real contrast. He doesn't say we're led away to sin and lust and the world, but we're led away to dumb idols. And dumb idols mean dead, speechless, not living. Hallelujah. We have been led to the living God. And that living God is the speaking God, and that Jesus Christ.
Isn't it something he opened up that section by saying, this is the governing principle for the exercise of the gifts, this matter of speaking.
Right.
Speaking not just randomly or gossip or idle talk, but speaking Christ one to another.
I'm glad that you keep helping me, Chris, being brought back to these key points. Governing principle. The governing principle of this section on the gifts.
Yeah.
Is that we have a speaking God. We need to be a speaking people. As he concluded, he says, we need to be those who speak by our spirit with the spirit all the time.
Wow. Dick, let's go on the next three verses for this final segment today, what we're going to look at. Verse 4, 5, and 6. But there are distinctions of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are distinctions of ministries, yet the same Lord. And there are distinctions of operations, but the same God who operates all things in all. And I added verse 11, which kind of concludes this segment, because I thought it fit in very well. But the one and the same Spirit operates all these things, distributing to each one respectively, even as he purposes. This is that divine administration going on again, isn't it?
It truly is.
Let's go back to Witness Lee.
After the first three verses, you have the manifestations of the Spirit by different gifts. Paul, no doubt, got into the Trinity of the Godhead. Verse 4 says, but there are distributions of gifts, but the same Spirit. He begins not with the Father. He begins with the Spirit. Then verse 5, and there are distributions of ministries and the same Lord. This is the second of the Trinity. And then there are distributions of operations, but the same God, that is the Father, who is operating all things in all. Could you see the three here? Three of the Godhead, the Spirit of the Lord, and God. And you have three things, gifts, ministries, and operations. The gifts are by the Spirit. The ministries are of the Lord. And the operations are of God. What are these? When you exercise your gifts, the ministries come out. The gifts are for the ministries. The word ministry in Greek means the services. When we use our gifts to function, spontaneously, that function becomes services. And the services is of the Lord. The Spirit distributes the gifts. When the gifts function, You have the services, and that is of the Lord. And that is also for the Lord.
Amen.
Okay, when the services are there, the services accomplish certain operations for God. And operation simply means works. And these works are to carry out His administration. And these operations or these works could be done by the services, by the ministries. And Jesus Christ is the Lord, the anointed one, to take care of all these ministries. So these ministries belong to Him. Could you see this?
Dick, this section could bog us down if we were trying to diagram a flowchart here as he was presenting it all, but there are some key points in just the short amount of time we have left. And the key point I was impressed with was that the gifts, the ministries, and the operation are all, each one, related to the three of the Godhead. Weren't you impressed with that?
Oh, I'm really impressed with that, Chris, that as our brothers mentioned many times before, God in His Trinity is the structure of the whole Scripture.
Yeah.
And when you really see the triune God unveiled in these verses as the Spirit with the gifts, the Lord with the ministries, and God with the operation, oh, your heart just burns, is on fire because we see the precious triune God, not in a doctrinal way, but in a very experiential way. And what I appreciate, Chris, I mentioned to you a little bit before this broadcast that in Ephesians 1, how do we become the church, the body of Christ? It's by God the Father being embodied in God the Son, dispensing Himself as the life-giving Spirit into us to make us His body. Now, in chapter 4 of Ephesians, it mentions one body, one Spirit, one Lord, and one God, just like the order here. Spirit,
yeah.
Lord, and God, indicating that for Him to come to us, He's the wonderful triune God as the Father embodied in the Son and dispensing Himself into us as the Spirit. But for us to experience Him and enjoy Him, we need to cooperate by exercising our spirit, or as Brother Lee mentioned, exercising our gift.
Yeah.
If we exercise our gift, we enjoy Him as the Spirit. We're brought into Him as the Lord, who is the ministering one, and we're immersed into Him as God, the God of operation, the one who's operating His divine administration. So this is marvelous. On one hand, every time you call on the Lord, God in the Son as the Spirit is dispensed into you. On the other hand, every time you exercise your spirit to say, Lord Jesus, you're really exercising your gift. You're brought in the Spirit through the Son into the Father, into God's operation, which is His administration, and that is to fill us with Christ, to make us the enlargement of Christ for the testimony of Christ in this universe. What a marvelous experiential section.
Boy, it really dovetails, Dick, with this point that we had in the middle section today about the body being the means and the instrument. When the function of the gifts through the Spirit really brings in this ministry of Christ.
Amen.
That results in the operation of God as He is administrating His economy in the universe. He cannot do it without the body, and the body cannot do it without this kind of proper function in the Spirit, can it?
That's right.
Always good to have you, Dick. I enjoy our times together, and we touch the Lord again in our time.
Amen.
Well, as we part, let us give you our toll-free number. We hope you'll contact us. We'd like to share with you the printed life study material that comes along with our radio programs each day. This three-volume set of 1 Corinthians is available, and you can find out about how to get it if you'll call us. It's toll-free 1-888-LIFE-STUDY, 888-543-3788. And we'll return next week, although Matt Miller will be sitting in for the first couple of days next week, Dick. But then I will be back for Wednesday, Lord willing, and we will carry on with this marvelous life study of 1 Corinthians.
Hallelujah for the body.
Amen. And for Dick Taylor and Matt Miller, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening.
In both the first and last book of the Bible, God presents himself to man as the tree of life. Throughout the Bible, God is portrayed as food for man to eat and life for man to enjoy. In the Tree of Life, Witness Lee presents a view of God's heart that is little understood and seldom experienced by Christians today, revealing that it is God's desire that we receive Christ, experience Christ, and enjoy Christ as our moment-by-moment supply. The Tree of Life from Living Stream Ministry is available at Christian bookstores everywhere.